Oral arguments in the fourth case on today's calendar, case number A22-1257, State of Minnesota versus Kiabe B. And I would be happy to have my pronunciations corrected if either attorney wishes to do so. Counsel for appellant, you may please introduce yourself and your client, and then you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the court and counsel. My name is Caroline Radmaker, and I represent the appellant, the State of Minnesota, in this matter. The issue in this case turns on whether a motor vehicle driven on a public roadway is in a public place under Minnesota Statute Section 624.7181. A motor vehicle driven on a public roadway is in a public place under the statute for three reasons. First, the plain language of the statute specifies that government-owned or controlled property are public places, which is inclusive of public roadways. Second, Minnesota courts have found that motor vehicles driven on public roadways are in public places or in a public place under similar statutes, and the reasoning in those cases should be applied here. And third, even if the statute is ambiguous, it still applies to motor vehicles that are driven in public based on legislative intent. First, as I noted, the plain language of the statute defines government-owned or controlled property as a public place. It's the state's position that the statute here is unambiguous. It does give a specific definition of what a public place is, including that government-owned and controlled property, as well as private property that's open to regular use by the public. The state is asking this court to consider that first part of the statute, that a government-owned or controlled property is a public place. And therefore, a vehicle that's driven on a public road is in a public place under the statute, under the plain language.
So is the definition of public place unambiguous or ambiguous? In other words, couldn't it, that your interpretation may be one reasonable interpretation, but isn't there another alternative reasonable interpretation, which is looking just at the plain language, which is that you look at the property itself, and here the BB gun was in a vehicle, which is arguably private property that is not regularly or frequently open or made available for use by the public?
Well, Your Honor, I think that the proper analysis here is determining first whether a vehicle is in a public place, which again, under the statute, it's on government-owned or controlled property on a public roadway, so it is in a public place. And then I think it follows that a driver of a vehicle that is in public on a public road is also in public under the statute, under this plain language. Even though they're in the interior of a vehicle, they're still just as much in public as someone who's in a convertible with the top down, or who's riding a bicycle, or who's riding a scooter, or even who's walking on a sidewalk. And that's something that the court in State v. Serbis considered and kind of addressed, where the line is drawn between a public place when you're in a motor vehicle. I think it gets a little too fuzzy to say that if you're in a vehicle with the windows up, suddenly you're in a private place and that's not open to the public. Whereas if you're on a bicycle, then you are in a public place. I think it's just too fuzzy.
Well, here we have language, though, for private property. It talks about property that is regularly and frequently open to or made available for use by the public in sufficient numbers to give clear notice of the property's current dedication to public use.
That's right, Your Honor. And again, I think in this kind of situation, a vehicle can be seen more as a mode of transportation to put someone in the public sphere. And again, in service, that vehicle was on a public roadway. The court found that that driver, that person, was in public, and therefore was, could be criminally charged under that statute, although it does address different things and the definition was different. But I think the reasoning is similar in that driving a motor vehicle in a public place puts you inherently in the public sphere. And so while there is a definition of private property, I think we can separate it out as it relates to motor vehicles, because the driver of a motor vehicle is in public when they are driving their vehicle.
But the district court, I mean, I think the district court didn't really consider the public nature of the roadway. The district court was focused on the vehicle as a place, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and why, I mean, why is that reasoning foreclosed by the statute?
Well, Your Honor, I'd say that the district court was looking at the wrong part of the statute at that point, and that's an argument that we had on the record.
Wrong part, meaning the sort of the, what I'll call, I think there's kind of two clauses. The first one is government property. The second one is private property.
Correct.
But I think that the district court was just solely focused on the vehicle, not on the location of the vehicle.
Right? I agree with that, Your Honor. And that was something that in discussion with the parties on the record at that time is something I addressed. And from the beginning, the state's position has been that in this context, a motor vehicle is not private property in the same way that it is, you know, in other situations. Rather, it's a way that a person can be in a public sphere. It gives that person the ability to be traveling around with a BB gun, a shotgun, a rifle, you know, in their vehicle. It has the same ability to put someone in a public sphere as walking around on the sidewalk does. And I think you're right, Your Honor. There are two kind of parts of the statute. And my position is that the district court kind of didn't address this part of the statute that says that government-owned and controlled property is a public place.
In your view, that when the definition uses either the word property or the term private property, is it referring to real property or personal property or to both? Do you have a view about that?
I think you're referring, Your Honor, to the second part of that statute, the private property.
You're right that the second part says private property. The first part says property owned, leased, or controlled by a governmental unit.
Correct.
So, I mean, either the term property by itself, single word, or the term private property, I'm wondering if you interpret that to encompass both real property and personal property, or only one or the other?
Well, I think it could be both. As it relates to government-owned property, I think that's maybe a bit clearer in a way. Public roadways, parks, sidewalks, publicly owned or government-owned buildings would all fall into that category, whether it's real or...
What about a government-owned car? State of Minnesota, you know, you see them on the roads once in a while with a license plate or a sticker on the side.
Well, again, a government-owned vehicle traveling on a public roadway, I think, would be in a public place under the statute. I think it's more about the status of what a motor vehicle is. And so if it's a government-owned vehicle, if it's traveling on a public roadway, it's in a public place.
What if it's a state-owned vehicle in the driveway of a state employee?
Well, I think then you get into kind of where the court goes in Theng Yang. Or I guess that kind of gets in maybe to the second part of the statute, that if you're in a driveway that's private property owned by someone, that may be private property under the statute.
Although I think, you know, there's a third part to this definition, and that the exceptions are, but it does not include certain things or certain places, I think.
Correct. Yes, I agree with that. It doesn't include a person's home, a business that they own, fields and waters of the state. Yes, I think that's accurate. And I'd also like to point out, Your Honors, that if we look at the broader statute, a bit higher up in the statute, I believe it's subdivision 1, paren B, paren 2. The statute specifically denotes how to properly carry or transport a BB gun, shotgun, or rifle. It states that that would be in an unloaded and in a gun case expressly done to contain a firearm. I think that kind of indicates that there was some thought that, or some idea that people would be carrying BB guns, shotguns, and rifles in vehicles, and that there's a proper way to do it, and that that indicates that there's an improper way to do it. And so an improper way to carry your BB gun, shotgun, or rifle in your vehicle would be, for example, to have it stowed under your driver's seat, not in a case and loaded. I'd like to turn, I think, to the court's reasoning in State v. Serbis. Although the statute is addressing a different issue, I think the court's reasoning there is applicable here as well. Vehicles, again, are inherently mobile. They put people into the public sphere. Drivers are on the road next to other drivers, next to people who are at parks or other public locations. And in that case, the court noted that the risk of danger from discharge of a firearm is present even when the weapon isn't visible to people outside the vehicle. Well, that's the exact same situation as it would be here. People are, you know, just as open to danger from a BB gun, a shotgun, or a rifle that are contained in a car as they are a pistol. And so I think that the reasoning that the court uses in Serbis is applicable here as well. And then finally, Your Honors, if the statute is found to be ambiguous, I think the legislative intent behind it does indicate that the legislature would have intended to include motor vehicles in this statute. I think the legislative intent here was balancing a need to protect one's home and business, which do have a, you know, higher level or expectation of privacy, balancing that with the need for public safety. And again, the chance or the, I guess, danger of discharge of one of these kinds of weapons from a vehicle is the same as it would be with a pistol. And so there is a need to balance public safety in these kinds of situations. And so if the court finds that the statute is ambiguous, I would respectfully ask that the definition be made to include that a public highway is a geographical location that's accessible to the general community, which is what the court found in Serbis. And then lastly, I think that, you know, to find that a motor vehicle or a person driving a motor vehicle is not in a public place under the statute, it wouldn't be logical. I don't think that it would comply with common sense. And of course, the legislature doesn't intend an absurd result. So, Your Honors, I would ask that you reverse the district court's decision here and remand back to the district court. I see I have a minute left. I don't know if there are any further questions.
I have a quick question, which may or may not at all be on point. There's this reference back to 970B.045, and then you can carry a BB gun, rifle, et cetera, in a case expressly made to contain a firearm. But a BB gun is not a firearm. So does that matter? I mean, does that make any difference?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think it makes any difference in deciding this case in particular. in that it's inclusive of shotguns and rifles as well. I don't know that, I guess the legislature may have used the word firearm without, I think maybe BB gun got slotted in here along with, you know, shotguns and rifles, but I think that the idea holds that they were considering what a proper way to carry one of these kinds of weapons in a vehicle would be, and that there is an improper way to carry those kinds of weapons in a vehicle. Thank you.
Thank you. You will have an opportunity for rebuttal. Counsel for respondent, please introduce yourself and your clients, and then you may begin.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Drake Metzger, and I represent the respondent, Mr. B, in this pretrial appeal. The district court order dismissing the sole count in this complaint should be affirmed because there was no probable cause to proceed to trial. For purposes of this statute, specifically 6247181, a motor vehicle is not a public place under the unambiguous definition contained in that statute. 6247181 defines public place. I think there's already been some discussion, so I won't read the whole thing, but essentially government-owned property, leased property, and essentially private property. Some of the questions that were just asked, you know, is this include real property as well as private, just general property? I would say that the statute as a whole does include both real property and private property, or like motor vehicles, for instance. Specifically, I would say that because in the does not include section, the third section of that statute or the definition, a person's dwelling is specifically noted, which implies real property or, you know, so I do think that property includes both motor vehicles, real property, other property. And I would argue that a government vehicle would be government-owned property, therefore public.
If public place includes or does not include a vehicle that's not regularly and frequently open to the public, you know, the average person's private vehicle, why is it, why did the legislature include an exception? Why did it define carry to not include transporting a BB gun, rifle, or shotgun in compliance with section 97B.045? In other words, if it, you know, if having a BB gun in your car is not carrying a BB gun in a public place, why was there a need to exempt from the definition of carry transporting a BB gun in compliance with section 97B.045?
Well, I do think that 97B.045 is specifically addressing just transportation or transporting firearms. I don't know that the fact that this statute is saying that doesn't, you know, if as long as they're complying with that, it won't constitute a violation. You know, I don't think that that necessarily means.
But wouldn't it otherwise be exempt from having, you know, wouldn't, if you had a gun in your own personal, a BB gun in your own personal car, that wouldn't, according to your interpretation, that wouldn't be carrying a BB gun in a public place, and therefore wouldn't be a gross misdemeanor under this statute, correct?
Correct. Well, I think we're dealing with separate elements. We're dealing, and that addresses carrying, I think, 975.
Right, but we read the statute as a whole. I guess I'm just not clear why that language would be included as an exemption to carrying if public place doesn't include a private vehicle.
I guess I don't have a great answer for that, but I would just say that carrying, specifically, whether or not the carrying element is satisfied, this is just specifically saying that it is not satisfied as long as you're complying with that statute. You know, I think that I could see a situation where you're still carrying or complying with the transporting statute. It's within arm's reach, I think, is at least how some of the other firearm statutes have been construed. But it might not necessarily be carrying for that statute, but it would be for this statute. So, you know, I do think that just the carrying element is separate than what constitutes a public place. And we're only dealing with public place in this appeal. You know, and I cited to State v. White in my brief, I believe, and I do think there's some precedent that the interior of a motor vehicle, even on a public street, is not a public place. And that's that State v. White addresses that. I think this court specifically found in a situation where a public place was explicitly defined by statute that did not include a motor vehicle, that did not constitute a public place for that statute. And I think the same reasoning should apply here. We're not looking at the statutes also addressing firearms, and I guess specifically I'm referring to 624.7142 and 624.714. Now, I agree that those are not dispositive of this issue, but what I do think is important is if you look at 624.714, that cites to the definition of public place in 7181. But that definition also, that statute also includes a motor vehicle. And so it's not that the legislature isn't aware of the interior of a motor vehicle or doesn't know how to address that. They address it in 714. And so I think...
But couldn't you equally read that and draw the opposite conclusion? Because it says, or other... I don't have it in front of me, but it says, you know, motor vehicle, blah, 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 or other as defined. So it doesn't say or as defined. It says or other places. So I read that, and I think you could read it. Here it is. Who carries, holds, or possesses in a motor vehicle, snowmobile, or boat, or on or about, clothes, blah, 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 or otherwise in possession or control in a public place. So I think that otherwise, you know, you could read it the other way too and just say, geez, that proves that they thought motor vehicles, et cetera, boats, you know, that if they're within geographic public places, that you need a permit to carry. As opposed to, I don't know.
Well, I think that, yeah. Well, I guess you could read that.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, yeah.
I agree with you, Your Honor.
Yeah, okay.
But I do think just as easily you can read that to mean that they did not intend the interior of a motor vehicle in this case, even in a public street, to be a violation. And they might hear, and they clearly do hear in 714, but they don't hear. And I think looking at the lineage of service and kind of the cases that led up to it, this court, as well as the Minnesota Supreme Court, has reiterated time and time again, these statutes are not to be read in conjunction with another. And in service specifically, the Supreme Court said, you know, our holding today is limited to the meaning of public place for purposes of just 624.7142 and does not affect the meaning of public place in other statutes.
So what about somebody walking on a public sidewalk or even, you know, on a public roadway, and they're carrying in their handbag or in their backpack? So that's personal property. You have a privacy interest, you know, before the government can search. There needs to be a Fourth Amendment. You know, it needs to be justified under the Fourth Amendment. So what about that? Is that how is that different? How do we distinguish that in terms of, if you do think there is a difference between that and a motor vehicle?
Well, I think your purse is definitely different than a motor vehicle. I think there's more of a privacy right in your motor vehicle than a purse in that situation. You know, and again, I think one other important detail here is this statute is addressing BB guns, rifles, and shotguns, not pistols, handguns, revolvers, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So things that aren't necessarily going to be easy to travel in a hand purse or, you know, even a tote or whatever the case may be. Like long rifles, I think, is what this statute is meant to address, and that's the long history of Minnesota for hunting and things like that, mm-hmm. long traditions that's cited in most of these cases. So I do think that situation is not necessarily one that would, I think it is distinguishable from a motor vehicle. And I do think the fact that we're talking about a BB gun here that's under the seat of a motor vehicle is certainly different than waving hanging out a convertible with a rifle, you know, and I do think that's a distinguishable fact as well. But again, this court and this Minnesota Supreme Court consistently and regularly say The definition of public place in 7181 is a narrow definition. And that is because the legislature treats rifles, BB guns, shotguns vastly differently than pistols, handguns, things like that. And so I think that distinction is very important. And again, this court and the Minnesota Supreme Court has consistently said we do not read these statutes in conjunction with one another. And I think it was Larson specifically was a situation involving 7142 where the court said, I apologize, I'm just confused by my notes here. You know, they rejected the argument to analyze them together. And, you know, again, this reflected the legislature's longstanding distinction between the treatment of rifles and BB guns and its stricter regulation of pistols and automatic weapons. And that is a situation, I think, where it was the guy on the sidewalk walking to a shooting range under the influence of alcohol. And again, 7142 is not just, we just don't want handguns out there. We're talking about drunk people with handguns in public. And so there's that added additional element of, you know, this could go awry. We want to protect the public from someone who might drunkenly, mistakenly do something stupid with a handgun. But again, that is restricted to pistols and handguns. So I do think that those are all important distinctions here.
Despite what you just said, I have a question about service.
Sure.
I understand it's a different statute, but the manner in which the Supreme Court analyzed the case, it seems to me we might want to pay attention to that. So in determining whether that statute or whether the term public place by itself, undefined in that statute, was ambiguous or unambiguous, the Supreme Court looked at dictionary definitions and said it could be. The term place can be used in either a geographic sense, such as the presence on a highway, or in a spatial sense, such as one's presence inside a car, bus, or other vehicle. And it said it could be either. Now, if we look at our more expansive definition of public place, what indications do we have that it could be read either way, either to mean geographic, a location, or spatial, you know, including a vehicle?
I just want to make sure I understand your question. You're asking in 7181, what indication is there that we can read it as both?
Correct. I guess for the purpose of determining whether it's ambiguous in the same manner in which the service statute was ambiguous.
I don't think it is ambiguous.
I know you say it's unambiguous, but in other words, so as you look at it. Let's take the geographical and the spatial concepts that the Supreme Court identified in Serbis. You're saying it's only one of those two? It's only spatial?
Well, I think property just includes it's much broader than the definition in Serbis, or excuse me, much narrower than the definition in Serbis. I think in this situation. Sorry, I just want to make sure I address your question.
I know you are counsel in service as well, so I can understand if you're getting the cases mixed up. But I guess.
Well, I think that in service you were dealing with a statute that did not have a definition for public place. And so the Court of Appeals was kind of tasked with...
Supreme Court, yep.
Well, initially the Court of Appeals in Grand Ishar, and then in service at the Court of Appeals, struggling with how to define public place. Here we have the definition. And it's not this nebulous, we need to come up with a definition, we need to create a definition. The statute is unambiguous.
You say it's unambiguous. Appellant says it's unambiguous, but you're saying different things. And you know, we need to go through this analysis of determining whether it's ambiguous or unambiguous. But both of you are telling us it's unambiguous, but yet, you know, with very different meanings.
Well,
I guess I'm wondering how we. Well, go ahead if you have a response.
Well, I think that if the court, the legislature, excuse me, wanted to include motor vehicles, it would have. If it wanted to, just like it did in 714, if the legislature, in light of service, thought, hey, maybe we should look at 7181 and make sure that it's clear that a motor vehicle on a public roadway is still considered a public place for rifles, shotguns, and BB guns, will do that. They haven't. And so I think the legislature's had opportunities, and they know what they clearly know what they're doing in terms of using words like in a motor vehicle, you know, things like that. So I think that, to me, reflects that this is not, you know, this broad definition that's coming out of service. And again, I would point out, even the Supreme Court's stated, this does not affect other definitions for public place.
So if we were to view if we were to believe that the statute is ambiguous, and it, then how would we resolve the how would we resolve the ambiguity in your client's favor?
I think the rule of lenity, as I referenced in my brief, would require this court to rule in my, or find at least in my client's favor as it relates to, I see my time is up.
Go ahead and complete your answer.
I do think the rule of lenity, if the court were to find that it's ambiguous, requires that this court rule in my client's favor.
I mean, in Service, the Supreme Court said that the rule of lenity does not apply there because it's only a last resort.
I would still argue that lenity still requires that in this case. I don't believe the statute is ambiguous, but if the court is going to find that it's ambiguous, I do think the court should still find it in my client's favor. Additionally, this statute addresses vastly different things than drunk people with pistols in public. These are rifles, shotguns, things like that. So interior of someone's own motor vehicle that is not, you know, an Uber, Lyft, public place, it's just not a public place. So I would ask the court to affirm the district court order dismissing the complaint. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rademacher, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you. On rebuttal, I'd like to address, I think, just two things. First, respondent relies heavily in briefing and here on State v. White. I think that case is easily distinguishable from the case here. That case was regarding what a public place was for the purposes of, I believe it was a prostitution or soliciting sex in a public place. That is vastly different than in the case here, where the statute is regarding a weapon. And the statutes that we have to look at are also regarding weapons in 624.712 and 0.714. And so relying on State v. White, I think, is less helpful than relying on the cases that we have that do address at least more similar issues, in that they address possession of weapons in public places. And additionally, in State v. White, the court specifically distinguished the facts of that case with State v. DeLegge. I may be mispronouncing that. It's D-E-L-E-G-G-E. That was a case involving possession of a firearm in a vehicle. And so the court in State v. White specifically distinguished itself from a case where someone had a weapon in a motor vehicle. Secondly, I think I'd also like to address the issue of stricter treatment of pistols versus BB guns, shotguns, and rifles by the legislature. The court has noted before in other cases that these statutes shouldn't be read in conjunction with each other. That's absolutely true. However, I think that the court's reasoning, specifically in Service, but in other cases as well, the reasoning can still be applied here, and it can still make sense to apply that to this similar, though different, statute. And again, while the legislature does treat BB guns, shotguns, and rifles differently, and we can see that just based on the language of this statute, again, there's that balancing between personal protection and public safety. And so I think that the more specific definition specifically addresses that, the reasoning behind why the legislature treats those differently. It gives people the ability to possess their BB gun in their home without, needing a permit or anything like that, or in their place of business. So the statute specifically addresses the legislature's kind of reasoning for having different definitions. So again, I would ask the court to reverse and remand this case, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Rademacher. Thank you to both attorneys for your arguments. The case is submitted, and the court will issue its opinion in writing within 90 days. That is the final case on today's oral argument calendar, so the court will be in recess.